I always thought that Thunderstruck was more orchestral than... Oh, wait. All right. Hold on. We're creating blind fighter awareness right now. It was all about a mentally challenged person.
I can see the whole time.
What? Acting. But here's what I think Thunderstruck would sound better as if it was orchestral. Let's go to video. Look at these lovely ladies.
I don't hear it.
Well, that's because you're deaf. We're creating awareness for you, too. And also creating awareness for women. Apparently, they can play instruments. I know they can't vote. I'm also aware of the fact that they shouldn't be doctors. Gino covered that.
Just sounds like they're bitching.
Well, they're cycling.
It's just a lot of noise. Oh, there we go.
Killing it.
You need that, like, bass in there.
Not the best studio in the world. That looks like a one-bedroom apartment. That actually, is that Gino's apartment? I'm expecting a cat and more lesbian music. All right, I've decided I don't like females with strains. Let's do Southern sensibility. Let's listen to Thunderstruck that way. Next one. Unless I gave the wrong video. Look at these guys. This one sounds better. This is basically all the In Hot Water fans that thought they were going to see Gino and Aaron yesterday.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I like this one. It sounds more like it. Man, if I could learn how to play a spoon.
Oh, God. I wouldn't be able to have you anymore. You'd be platinum.
I also like how they all coordinated their outfits.
Well, they don't have outfits.
Exactly.
The moonshine.
You don't know that they're poor. That's a gross assumption.
You're a gross assumption.
Also, let's talk about the quality of this video, right? That is a good fucking camera. The lighting is, that could be better, but you know, like, the picture quality is awesome.
Okay, I have a theory on this next one. I think that these are, we got one more Thunderstruck. We're going to go back to classical. These guys are called the Two Celloists, and I believe, I might have that name wrong. And they, I think both of these two guys are your types. Like, because they're vaguely gay looking,
right.
Pretty boys. Watch.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's your jam.
Oh, yeah.
And also, like, they can play an instrument, so she likes that. If they have a British accent, although you don't like British accents.
Just look at what those fingers can do.
I love these guys. I never heard of them until I started typing in Thunderstruck and went down a horrible AC/DC wormhole. Look at them go!
Wow.
This is fucking great.
You're not even slapping to the beat, Bill.
I'm white. Yeah, I wish my hair could do that. I was not blessed with a afro.
I will say, probably the hardest part about editing this, right, is with all these different camera angles syncing up.
Oh, God.
The movement to the sound.
Someone's in the industry.
Because it's so fast.
Look at that. They're fucking awesome. I never heard of them until, again, AC/DC Wormhole, but they're killing it. All right, so which one? Which one do you like better? Because they're both your type.
I still like the banjo and the spoons.
No, but which guy are you attracted to?
The guy in the overalls with the... I don't actually know. They both have really good qualities.
You're so magnanimous.
I do like the on the left with the hair just kind of going a little bit. That's fun.
Yeah, it is fun. I wish I could do that. There's nothing like I've told this before. Like during the Anthony Michael Hall, everyone had Lon Baines period of the 80s, which you weren't even born yet. All I wanted was to have that, like where I could just do this.
A little flock of seagull action?
Yeah, absolutely. I wanted that shit. And my hair doesn't grow that way. My hair is a Brillo pad. And so as much as I would try to have Baines, like Michael J. Fox in Secret of My Success, Anthony Michael Hall in Weird Science, there's a couple other great examples. I would never be able to do that with this piece of shit I call my hair.
Yeah.
But look at that. See, I want that. That's fucking, I like that.
Yeah.
I never got that. I think Garrett could pull that off if he grew it out.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, Garrett could Yeah, you could kill that.
Yeah.
I missed a lot yesterday.
Yeah.
Because I was sleeping for quite literally 15 hours.
That's true.
Yeah.
I also missed the big fight yesterday.
So there was a blind man and there was a retarded man. Garrett... who won, the retard the blind guy?
I kept asking people who won, and everyone's like,
it was just a sad thing to look at. It was like Kenny the Down Syndrome Tiger fighting another Down Syndrome Tiger.
Brian easily won round one.
Okay.
Gino took round two, and then round three was a tie.
Really? So it was a drop.
We set up a rematch.
Oh, God,
of course. No. Oh, boy. Do we have, like, because neither Joe nor I saw it. Do we have a quick clip of Gino getting his ass kicked by a person that can't see Gino getting his ass kicked?
Give me a second.
God, I want to help them both in so many
ways. I was looking at social media, like a Twitter, to see what people who were here were posting. And the only pictures people are posting are of the two of them, like, hugging and kissing.
Aww.
And I'm like, you all have some secret fantasies about Gino and Brian.
Look at this. Toe-to-toe, just annihilating. Aaron got these gloves, and they did not work.
Just in the hallway, we are monsters.
We're not good people.
All right, Brian, getting into
Gino's got like a fucking uppercut.
Wow.
I wish he was a southpaw. That might have helped. Why is...
See, so after round one...
He's got a mouth guard because he loves his precious teeth.
But so does Brian. They both do.
Brian popped his glove in round one. So round two, they had a box with their finger up their ass. And then round three, which is this round, they had a box with their hand on their crotch for some reason.
Look at that. Oh, God. And please tell me that Gina wiped that hand on Brian's face.
Ew.
Ew.
They started high-fiving the audience, which was kind of disgusting.
Look how exhausted they both look.
Now... I have nothing to add.
There's Brennan wishing he knew how to fight. Like, look at his delicate... Brennan's got such delicate wrists. I wonder how he can barely jerk off.
Oh, God.
I never saw Kevin smile as much as I did during these 3 minutes.
Look at Chrissy just wanting camera time.
That's Gabby Hoffman.
Oh, nice.
Gabby Hoffman, yes.
Oh, my God, she's wearing her sign. That's so funny.
We did this in the hallway. By the way, this is so illegal. From an insurance policy, maybe we shouldn't even mention it. From an insurance perspective on this building, that was illegal.
That was in our hallway.
But again, I can't even see myself right now. Joe and I are just trying to create awareness for whatever Brian McCarthy claims to have. We're told he's blind. I think it's suspect.
Well, yesterday the stick came out, and by stick I mean his blind stick, and by blind stick I mean
the stick came out?
No. Well, apparently that happened too. But no, last night after the fight was Comedians of the Compound at West Side Comedy Club, which I went to.
Why?
because Aaron was like, Joe, if you're not doing anything, you should come.
And amazing I was like, Aaron impression.
I guess I should support these fools. So on the show, Aaron was like, there's only 10 tickets left, so go get them. And I thought he was pulling a me, where you lie and say that you're running out of tickets so more people buy them. But no, they really ran out. I got there without having purchased a ticket. I was put on a wait list like a pauper.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Like an unfamous pauper. So I text Gino, and I'm like, what the fuck? But he was way too far gone. So Aaron took care of it for me. He got me in.
Way to go, Aaron.
But it was fun. I sent some pictures to Garrett. This was my first time seeing a few people do stand-up. So here's Brian hosting.
How is he stand-up? Oh, well, he's hosting.
He's not. He was hosting it. He was telling stories about jerking off and hookers, as Brian does. And he had his walking cane or his walking stick, too. And I forget who made the joke. They were like, way to have the blind guy keep having to go up to the stage in the darkness.
But that's when his senses become alive. He's like Daredevil. I'm sure he knew the stage better than
There's Pat Dixon.
Oh, I love Pat.
Who, yeah, funny. Have I seen him do stand-up before? I can't remember.
Well, no, I don't know if you did, because I saw Pat, he was in the the first time they did this, Pat was on it, and he killed it. He was great.
Then we had, who was after him?
Is he wearing a MAGA hat?
He is. Oh, right. Dave Landau, who is just one of the best storytellers. Hearing about his childhood in Detroit makes me want to never have children. And I'm surprised he decided to, but the fact that he is alive right now is incredible.
No shit. Every time I think, maybe I should go to rehab, I look at Landau and how far he went before he went to rehab, and I'm like, I still got more time spent. I can hang on for a little longer. But Landau's the best. I think he's on this.
Okay, week. Shane. So fucking funny. This guy has a podcast on this network? Yeah, it's once a week. Garrett was like, it's okay, Joanne. There's so many shows. And I'm like, you're right. Thank you for making me feel less awful about that. But Shane is so funny. We're going to have him on soon.
Oh, great. Yes, absolutely.
He's from Pennsylvania, has a lot of friends. There was a lot of Philly humor, which was great.
Boo!
Okay. I'm gonna give Kevin a compliment.
Oh, come on.
And I'm sure he'll still take this the wrong way and berate us, but he was really funny.
Guys. Oh no, he's a great comedian.
He was really great. I liked pretty much all of his jokes. It was great. A nice combo of like crowd work and jokes.
It's a combination of funny and also looking like a salamander that someone set on fire. Like, it's like the visual of that, but also very funny.
Okay. Here's a photo of Gino sleeping next to me. So he decides to just park it next to me at the bar and is like, I keep looking over and he's nodding off. But here's the thing.
Look at that. Oh, my God.
He's a great secret sleeper because he hears the audience laughing. He'll go, ha-ha, and he'll clap his hands like he's paying attention, but he's not.
I'm starting to think he's not living his best life.
There's also E-Rock in the background there. There's Gino doing his set now.
I don't like this picture already.
He was
bad things happen.
Very drunk. He repeated two jokes. His mic was like falling apart. It somehow broke, and then he started banging the mic on surfaces as though that might help. I was actually surprised he held it together as much as he did, considering all he had been drinking all day. And you had a good point. He might have been suffering from a concussion.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Brian was going to town, like hit the blurry thing in the middle that looks like an Italian stereotype.
And we had Aaron close it up. He, of course.
Look, he's too lazy to like stand.
So funny. Oh, right. I didn't even realize that. You know what? It's more intimate, I think, when you sit, because we're all sitting. It's
don't
like he's an
that.
Equal. But yeah, there was this one family in the audience, this mom, her twin sons, who they say they were 21, who knows, and her best friend, older oh, that sounds wrong, older women. I don't know. They were like in their 40s, 50s. But man, you have to be really close to your parents to go to a comedy show with all of these comedians.
No kidding.
They got real personal real quick sexually, so.
Oh, wait, what?
Like asking the boys about, like, fuck it, a lot of rape jokes to the kids.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, a lot of, but it was fun. They seemed to love it, so that's all that matters.
Well, not to tease the story we have coming up, and I thank our own Joe Larson for giving me the story, but I added it last minute. We may have something coming up about a 61-year-old woman giving birth to her gay sons and gay lover's husband, a baby. And a lot of weird things are going on there. There's a lot of math to be done as far as how this works, as far as the entire family is concerned, because grandma produced the baby. We'll let Joe get into it. I want him to do the math on this.
Mm-hmm.
But what were your thoughts on the whole April Fool's Day? And can we run one more time? This is the last time we'll be able to do the graphic. Thank you, Five Fan Photoshop.
Yes, thank you.
I don't know why I wanted it to be Queen-related. Mostly because I think Gino is a lesbian. But I ask and you shall receive. Five Fan Photoshop gave us this, our April Fool's announcement that Joe and I would be doing In Hot Water. There we go. We would be doing In Hot Water. And indeed, Gino and Aaron would be doing Morning.
Are you technically Freddie Mercury here?
I am. And by the way, I did not tell Five Fan Photoshop to make me Freddie Mercury because I actually worried, because this is all Gino's idea. Let me rephrase this. Gino's stupid motherfucking dumb ass idea. And if anything, Gino should have been Freddie Mercury, but I did not give where our placement should be on that famous Bohemian Rhapsody album. And I like where I'm at because I'm in the center of everything. So that works. But that was wonderful. And then actually, do we still have the morning intro with Gino and Aaron?
Oh, that was fun.
As us? That was pretty good. Also, Five Fan Photoshop. If we have it, let's run it because it's fucking great. I just like Aaron in your dress.
Yep.
Poisoning Gino. Not too shabby. Look at that little smirk on your face. It's like he got something on everyone else.
That's right. I know you have AIDS.
Yeah, well.
That's what that smirk is.
I'm living with AIDS, not dying from it. You bitch.
I would like to pat ourselves on the back for...
Oh, wait, here we go.
Now, okay, as much as they... you could tell that they hated doing this because...
Oh, they did because they were next to each
because
other.
Because they said it multiple times.
Yeah.
But also, Aaron kept leaving and going back to his shticks in the booth.
Which you can't do. That's not morning.
Exactly. And you and I, good for us, really stuck to the format of In Hot Water. You know, we did the bits, yeah, not as racist. And I know so many of you were upset about that.
Jesus Christ, man. Not only was the In Hot Water fans upset that we were here, they're like,
come off,
make it more racist.
It would come off false. You know what I mean? That's just sad, the two of us.
I don't think
doing
they were
that.
Happy about Grape of the Day either.
Grape of the Day was hysterical.
What? That's what it is, right? It's Grape of the Day. It's not Rape of the Day, yeah? Yeah,
it's a
we
great
just wanted
book.
To talk about nice Shirazes and Pinot Grigio.
It was a Petit Syrah.
And you gave a great... You did a great job. I was cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. I'd worked all weekend. I had worked days and nights. I got a couple 3 hours sleep in between. At one point, I made the mistake of sticking around to watch Gino and Aaron do our show, as did you. And because I guess we're close to Macy's, I was like hallucinating. And so I would see Aaron and Gino in our background. I'm like, that's not right. And then all of a sudden I saw them above them, like the floats for the Macy's Day Parade at Thanksgiving, like just a floating Gino and a floating Aaron,
oh,
like right
weird.
Behind me. I was hallucinating. Yeah. I've never had that little sleep. But thank you for saving our attempt to do In Hot Water, because I was not of sound mind.
You're welcome.
But, you know, baby needs his bottle, which is
thing
getting paid
for. What I hate about April Fool's is then, so then I go home, right, and I'm looking for stories for today.
But you don't know.
And you don't know if these stories are true or not.
Yes.
Because then suddenly every news it's not even newspaper. Every news outlet is like, whoa, look at this funny story. Disclaimer at the end, it's fake. And I'm like, you just wasted 5 minutes of my life.
Well, you know, I'm the king of April Fools.
Tell me how.
Wait, what? Is this a setup? She doesn't even know. This was easier when the internet was not less of a thing. Was less
of a thing.
I think
you told this story last year.
I did. But again, we always have new listeners. And yeah, I came up with this thing called Gancing. Straight guys dancing with each other. And it was more interpretive art than actual dancing to get women to come and dance with them. And this was a hot trend going around New York. I talked to a couple of club owners. Told them that perhaps this might not be true, but to give me some quotes because you want to make it as real as possible. And I believe I said Garrett, the actual spread, they were themed dances. So you had the ball. We have the Gansing spread. This was for Stuff magazine. I can't believe Greg Gutfeld let me do this. All right, so I didn't turn it around.
Oh, God.
Yeah, there's the ball where you take two bottles and the other guy takes his shirt off. And then you do the bull thing, and he charges you. So it's less of a dance. Again, more interpretive art. There was the birth where...
Oh, my God.
And by the way, half of the people in this these photos are me, but I made sure they didn't use my face, where the one guy pretends to be giving birth, and the other guy just squeezes his way through the mangina.
I can see that.
Yeah. And then you cut the cord by taking off his belt and then just whipping him.
And then you do some erotic asphyxiation.
Yeah, well, why not? There's walking the dog where you take the belt and then walk him around.
Oh, I'm sorry, what?
Not masturbation.
There's what?
Joanne claims that walking the dog is masturbation.
It's masturbation.
It's not masturbation. That's never been a euphemism. You made it up. And, yeah, so I did that. And then, there we go. Everybody gants now. I'm not good with my headlines. That's the lumberjack where I cut down the tree. The other guy pretends to be a tree. By the way, that's Samantha Judge in the background. And then the tree falls into you. You grab the tree, and then we dance the night away. And the whole point was that you're supposed to get women with this. And media outlets, I did Zoo Radio for a couple, because this was our April issue, but it came out in March, so I kind of cheated. And I did Zoo Radio clips for about 10 days talking about what a trend this was. And then I gave our own Chris Wilson, who used to be an editor at Page Six, the exclusive that indeed this was an April Fool's joke. Ryan Seacrest talked on his radio show that he had come up with Gansing and that he did this way before anyone else did. Jay Leno bought it, did it in his opening monologue, said that, no, these guys aren't straight. They're actually gay. It was a lame joke. Of course, Page Six misspelled my name. And Chris Wilson's supposed to be a friend of mine. Fucking really annoying. But I fooled the entire country. And that's back when you could do it. Now, our April Fool's thing yesterday, I don't think really fooled anyone. And I think everyone was just disappointed. And look at your expression right now. Are you not proud of me?
No.
Are you not entertained?
But the thing is, like, is it really a prank if then it just becomes a fun thing that people like to do?
Well, no, like, that like it's both. You're welcome, America.
Who's had the wool pull over their eyes if these men are doing it, having a good time, and they're getting laid? Like,
well, no, the point was that they weren't actually getting laid and no one was doing that. I came up with
you
this.
Don't know that. Ryan Seacrest might have been doing that all along.
He's a liar.
Frosted
tips.
You don't know that. And also, this isn't an April Fool's prank because it lasted several weeks.
Well, it was our April issue. And also, and see, you think I'm dumb.
It's not April Fool's month. It's a day.
Every one of my quotes was real, and they were in on the joke. And I had a lot of quotes from people around New York.
Elaborate that it's...
Because I'm brilliant. My one fake quote was from a publicist named Flora Splio. And she was talking about how great Gansing was and how her boyfriend, she met him through Gansing. Flora Splio is an acronym for April Fools.
Oh, my God.
I am a genius.
Wow. That's incredible. Bill. Good work.
I don't like you, and I never have.
Let me get our guests in. They've been waiting so long.
I don't like you, and your voice makes my ear bleed. Guys, we have Dante Nero here for the actual morning. He came in at the wrong time yesterday, but we got him in on the fake morning. It was April Fool's.
Exactly.
You guys, he is the host of the Man School 202 podcast.
Formerly Beige Phillip.
If you don't watch it, I will punch you in the fucking face. And yeah, I have a limp wrist, but then Dante will do it and you'll really hurt. Wendy Starling is kind of a rock. And by kind of, I mean definitely. I like her so much more than Joanne.
Me too.
Hey, I hate you. You can see her at the Glamour Push Show once a month in New York. But more importantly, and I wanted to do a quiz on whose podcast was whose. Her other podcast is The Pussy Fart Game. And I wanted to do an audience ask of whose podcast was The Pussy Fart Game and whose was Man School 202. No one would have gotten it. And finally, we missed him. It's about time we get him back. Joe Larson, the wonderful comedian.
I have a podcast as well, and it's an all-Christian podcast about celibacy.
Oh!
So,
what's it called?
Don't Fuck? I don't know.
I believe that hasn't been taken.
Yeah. I have threesomes to that podcast. I just put it on in the background.
You get Joe's wonderful comedy album, Emotional Support, wherever wonderful comedy albums are sold. Guys, thank you so much for coming.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
And thank you especially to Wendy for being here on Equal Pay Day when we aren't paying you anything.
Oh, it's Equal Pay Day?
Yeah.
You know that. Is that true?
So basically, because women are paid 80 cents to the dollar.
Yay!
Crap
like
for
that.
That much?
Like, it takes it takes an extra few months for us to make the same amount of pay as a man in a year. So
good.
This is the day where it's equal. Apparently, that's what the Today Show
What you're telling
said.
Me is today is the real April Fool's Day.
Let's get her out of here, guys. Can we call security? She's out.
That's enough jokes from her. That's the equal pay portion of it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you guys so much for coming. What a good group. We have one that I started off with, and I mean Joe, he gave this to me. It is, I have so many questions that probably won't get answers. But two gay dads, an aunt and a grandmother, came together to have a baby in Nebraska. It's called America. Look
it's
into
like
it.
The start of a joke, doesn't it?
Yes.
It
just, or it's a new drama on NBC this fall.
Exactly.
Well, I want a new graphic called Land the Plane, where Joe and I just explain the story for way too long, and then we have a plane crashing. Land the fucking plane. So I'm going to do this as quickly as I possibly can. Dr. Cynthia Austin, a fertility expert in Cleveland Clinic, separates a fact from fiction about IVF starting with eggs. A sister and a grandmother. So, all right. A sister and a grandmother teamed up to help a gay couple have a baby on their own last week. She's the healthy child of an aunt who donated an egg, a grandmother who offered her body to carry the baby, and two gay dads, gads as we call them in the community, that were expecting. She, at 61, wanted to be a carrier. There we go. There is the happy family. Mm-hmm. By the way, this 61-year-old said she always loved being pregnant. I've never met a woman who said that.
She's a liar.
What's funny thank about you. That picture is when you explain how many people it sounds like are supposed to be there, and then you look at that picture, you go, wait a minute, where's all those people you just said?
Like, yeah, no
two
kidding.
Two gay dads and a grandma and a kid and an aunt
what
and a
the
sister.
Fuck? The embryo was the product of Matthew, I guess the other guy's sperm, because that would be weird if it was her son, or sorry, grandson, and the egg of Elliot's sister. So her granddaughter, I guess, Leah Tribe, according to the Journal Star. And this is a fucking thing. Dante, I go to you. Is it about time or is this, are they all going to hell?
I don't think anybody gives a fuck about it, really. Whatever makes you happy.
Let's do it.
Let's just pretend we really care for a second.
All right.
Just for the sake of this show.
All right.
Let me try. Yeah.
I got nothing. I got nothing again.
Would you, if you were this grandmother, it's a stretch, but would you do something like that for a family member of yours?
Oh, no, I would not. No.
Fuck no.
I don't like any of my family.
How do you want to help people move?
I don't even talk to my sisters. I got three sisters. I don't talk to any of those bitches.
Yeah, I don't
None of them.
FaceTime my family.
None of them. It's fucking awful.
Yeah. Wendy, I guess this is the outlier then.
Yeah. Wendy, is this wonderful or horrible or both?
I guess, first of all, thank God for white trash inbreeders, because I was born in Nebraska. Mm-hmm. And when I heard the grandmother thing, I was like, some over there, the grandma, and it's like, she's 17. I was like, okay. So she's young enough to do it. It's not endangering her. But then also, the being pregnant thing, I would say I do not ever want to have kids, but I would 100% carry. I would 1,000,000% be a surrogate, because I think being pregnant sounds dope. Your tits get big, you just get to be fat and super bitchy and eat whatever you want and be mean.
I think you're missing a lot of other parts about being pregnant. Yeah.
I already quit drinking. I'm not doing cocaine. So it's like, I may as well carry everybody's baby.
She says she needs your new blow. She doesn't want to be, want to have kids. I was like, I'm leaving it in from now on. Yeah. Should have told me.
Well, what's interesting too, though, in terms of making money, right? Surrogates make so much money.
And as like a sex worker, I'm already using my pussy for money now, and so that's how you flip it,
You've
right?
already valued your body.
And 30, yeah, that's how you flip it and reverse it.
Yeah.
It's y'all for a minute, is that up? So, yeah, no, I mean, I would continue to use my pussy for money. That's how you can, that's actually genius for women.
It's just rent. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but this, I mean, talk about a discount.
What kind of money?
I'm not a prostitute.
Kind of
I'm a landlord.
But really, this is.
Well, there's no money because it was in the family.
No. It's the friends and family discount. She's doing it for free.
What if somebody had to pay somebody to do that? What kind of money? Do you know what kind of money?
Oh, tens of thousands of dollars.
I don't know, but a lot.
$50,000.
Because sometimes you will pay the person's rent. You'll pay for new clothes for them when they're pregnant. You want to make sure that they're eating well. All of that stuff.
There's actually a legal precedent where you can't actually pay. I know that you can't pay somebody for an adoption. But you can do all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So there are monetary benefits to
It's so that. Weird. And, like, I hate that shit because, like, it's apparently still illegal to, like, sell your liver. Like, you can donate your liver yeah. and your litter if you're... Yeah.
You tried to donate your liver, you would be arrested on the spot. They're like, are you trying to kill
I'm in the market for getting a new one.
you have a lemon law.
It's illegal to pay for that. Yeah. It's your body. You should be able to sell whatever the fuck you want, including your baby.
Well, you know, That's the old question. When does life begin?
Let's
brings
get
us to.
He had a Planned Parenthood advertiser and he just ruined it. Joe, what do you think about this?
I think this is a beautiful thing, right? Number one, okay, so the grandma of the newborn, so the grandma had her own grandson.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
With her son's husband's sperm and that guy's sister's, no, that and her daughter's egg.
Her granddaughter, I believe, yeah.
And
it would be her daughter.
No, it's her daughter. It's her daughter's egg, right? Which I think is a beautiful thing, right? Number one, my family doesn't do anything together. And this is a beautiful thing to watch a family come together. And I would love to be a fly on the wall for that birds and the bees talk, you know? Grandma, where do babies come from? Well, in this family, me and me only, goddammit. No one else. The only person having kids is me!
That's such a great point, because that conversation is going to happen. And they actually addressed it in the article. Because, again, the only thing they don't want more than a baby is press. Matthew said that the Omaha couple planned to explain it to their daughter in terms she could understand, that her grandmother furnished the garden where she grew and that her aunt generously supplied the seeds. That's how they're going to explain it.
It's great.
Grandma, can I see that garden?
Hey.
Wow.
Can you explain metaphors to me?
Yeah.
I just thought of something else, and I know you have another story. I'm now thinking about this as a business plan. A lot of dudes have pregnancy fetishes. So if I could get some family to cover my fucking rent while I sit around and have their baby, I could double my money by having dudes that are in fucking
Airbnb.
I
mean,
you're a goddamn entrepreneur.
I got shit to do, people.
Gotta Airbnb out that pussy. That's what you gotta do. Yeah.
Airbnb your place and stay with them. Then you could make the rent to sell the pregnant pussy and get the surrogate money.
Jesus Christ, this is like Shark Tank, but shittier right now.
I watch a lot of CNBC.
She's the Warren Buffett of sex work right there.
Or the Walmart.
Hey, sharks, I have a great idea.
Well, before we get to
I'm out.
before we get to our second story,
over.
Dante is actually doing couples counseling as well.
Yeah.
And Joe is doing couples counseling with his wife.
Really?
And I feel like you could give him some free advice.
Absolutely.
So he doesn't have to pay for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And wait, I forget. Like, is your couples counselor a male or a female?
He's a man, which I thought was going to be better.
Idea.
No, I thought so. I went in and went, fuck yes, we're on it. No, I think he wants to fuck my wife.
Yeah, for sure. That's the first thing. Like, he's going to try to break you guys up.
Totally. He's an old man. My wife's not that bad looking. You know, he's like, I can slide in there.
Oh, I found one problem. Yeah. My wife's not that bad looking.
Yeah, right. I was like,
she's what a bitch. I told her, I go, hey, you're not even that gross, bitch. I don't know why she's so mad.
Oh, she's a beautiful woman. But anyway. Okay, so.
All right, so like Dante's got advice, but Wendy, even though she's bad at giving herself advice, I think she's got a big brain. I think she could help you as well. So
what's the problem?
I'm just
muscular brain, okay? It's not big.
Thank you. It's called thick with two C's.
We're creating female empowerment.
I feel like this turned into an intervention. Like, hey, you want to come on the show? Tell some jokes.
Divorce.
Sure. Hey, what's going on with your marriage? We'll do something real. I got
I like this.
Okay, I got two kids. Yeah. One, they're four. No. And there's four and seven, right? And I think what it is that I am a comedian.
Yeah.
And she is a bitch. No. The problem is it's always communication. I think it always comes down to communication.
Yeah. That's really, well, here's the thing. So my background in this was I was a male stripper for 10 years.
Okay, first off.
Yay.
And I ran an escort service for six.
Okay.
So both ends. So one of the things you have to do.
I like how you say that's both ends. I think that's one end. I think that's.
That's why you don't know.
I'm going to hire you as my manager. Yeah. I'm going to start renting out my uterus. Bitch.
Definitely a different business.
You're not getting any money for this.
We can run a couples therapy out of the same building.
I got you. So I think the basics of my podcast is this, that yes, we, you know, you have these instinctual drives. And so that when we think about men, you know, like we feel as though everything is so cognitive, mm-hmm. but we are still animals. And yes. So there's these instinctual drives that
underneath. I like how you keep playing around here.
It's the instinctual drives. And then you have what you call a social contract is mm-hmm. what we've created, monogamy, fidelity, all of those things mm-hmm. that we. Those institutions that we don't take into consideration the instinct mm-hmm. that seeps through the social contract. And so we have these feelings that we can't really explain because of the fact that our instinct is conflicting with the social contract that we created. And I think when you understand both of them, mm-hmm. you can kind of understand what's going on in your head.
So basically, Joe and his wife should just fuck around.
Yeah.
I mean, that's true. And I totally. And
well, the fucking hour.
That's a very fancy way of saying.
I mean, I understand that, but so when you it's one thing to understand that, but how do you implement that into?
Well, I think if you don't understand it, you can't even. An example is, I remember I had a girl that hit me up on Instagram, and we were talking back and forth, and she was like in Washington State, and then she was sending me these pictures and naked pictures, and we were fucking whatever.
For that,
yeah, and I'll post them up later.
Please do.
And then it got to the point where I was trying to get out to Washington to see her, but I couldn't because I was just doing too many gigs and I had too much stuff going on. There's a shelf life to that, and so that after a while, I was like, "Look, I'm gonna really try and come out and see you," and she was like, right? It's because like she was kind of over it, but I still had.
Wendy's nodding a lot.
I still had like a jealousy as if we had spent time together, because as a man on an instinctual level, we perceive your vagina as the garden. And that we have an opportunity.
Some gardens are bigger than others.
Absolutely.
And you're like, I got good seats.
But I actually was jealous of somebody who I never really had any real relationship with, simply because instinctually, I was possessive of the opportunity because, you know, whether you believe in God or whatever, whatever, the real immortality is moving.
I believed in God until I met Joanne. I'm done.
She's a good girl.
And now I only believe in angels. Yes. I love Joanne.
Nicely done.
Good kind of minority. Yeah.
But moving your DNA to the next generation is the real immortality. Because your DNA moves forward.
Absolutely.
So we have this kind of desire, and then when she took the desire, when she took that opportunity, even though I really didn't matter, I still had the jealousy. Like, wait a minute.
It's a guy thing, man.
Right, but then it's on an instinctual level because I was like, I had no real connection with her, no real intimacy. We never met. We never touched. We never kissed or anything, and I still had the same thing because it was. Yeah. So in that way,
and that's your ego. That's your ego going, wait, you're
real ego.
What if I were to now tell you?
Too. If someone doesn't text me back, I'm like, I'll fucking kill myself right now.
What if that was actually a man the whole time? What if you then found out you were catfished because you never met her? You were just sent, you know?
I don't know. I mean, I probably would have still been a little jealous.
You're like, can you tell me whose pussy that was?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
You obviously know.
I am not a counselor. I know. Shocking. But I have watched that Tony Robbins documentary.
Oh, yeah. It is good.
Did anybody else get a hard on when he got divorced?
Oh, that was the greatest moment of my life.
Is he divorced?
Yeah.
He's divorced. Woo! I'm in.
Well, his advice, his advice I'm about to give you then probably doesn't hold up. But I believe he said something to the effect of, like, you get what you give. Like, if you feel like your partner isn't invested in your relationship or there's some issues, be more present. Be the one investing. Be the one. So, like, you get what you give.
Yeah.
That never works.
I have something good to say, and I said this to my girlfriend at brunch. It was really good advice.
Thank you for prefacing it with brunch.
Well, and this comes from, I mean, I didn't realize that you ran an escort service. So something that I've learned.
Not
in
anymore.
The,
thank you.
Right.
Can't emphasize that enough, IRS.
No, that's what I'm saying that you used to. Yeah. Whatever. Anyway, so I still have a sugar daddy, and it's dope. But and something that I've lit, something that, how old were you when you guys got married?
I started dating her. We moved in together when I was 22.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's the fucking problem. You're a different person.
Yeah, exactly.
You're a totally different person.
She was 30.
Whoa.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
I know that.
Oh, you got to go. And I don't mean to sound like a cunt. My parents got divorced. My mom left when I was 8, but they were high school sweethearts.
Yeah.
And when my mom left at the time, it was really devastating. But even though it feels gnarly sometimes, if you're over it, you just got to go. And this is good advice, and now listen, because, and I know it seems harsh, at the time, I was 8, my brother was 6. I was, like, devastated, right? As a kid, I'm like, that's the worst thing that could have ever happened. But they got, but then my mom, she was cheating on my dad, with who's now my stepdad, and they're still together. Like, you change so much from your 20s to your 30s.
Yes!
She found the person she was supposed to be with. And my dad, his second wife that he married, my dad's, like, the nicest guy in the world. His second wife had a 2-year-old little girl, and he adopted her. And that's my sister, who's, like, my best friend, and her kids. I talk to them all the time. So whenever something terrible happens in my life, I'm like, okay, this seems fucking gnarly, but this has got to be kind of, like, an opening for something better. Because I always think about the worst thing that ever happened was my mom leaving. The best thing in my life is my sister.
Yeah.
So you can't have the good with. So like you gotta. Yeah, yeah. So yeah. Like, if you're,
that.
If
well, you're, there is a philosopher in you.
Well, I mean, granted, she became a comedian. So let's.
Yeah.
I mean,
tell my sister's in my pussy.
Wendy, tell us more about your sugar daddy.
Yeah, exactly.
But the other thing I've learned in that situation too, and it's, I think it works in traditional relationships. Is something that, because I can't, like you were talking about the ego and the possession.
Yeah.
I've been with this guy for like over 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's not going to be anything. He's got other girls in different cities. And we say, I love you. And I do feel that emotional connection with him. But something that it's taught me, and it's kind of like very Buddhist for, you know, a whore. But I don't possess anybody. Nobody possesses me.
Right.
So when we're together, you enjoy this for what it is. And then he leaves and I'm like, and I don't own, and so that's like loving selflessly. It's like, I love you so much and I want you to be happy, and if that's not with me.
I have found that you are an outlier on that, because I don't think a lot of women think that way.
No, but because they've been conditioned to.
Is it conditioned?
Yeah, sure.
I would also say the other side of that genetic thing is that a woman, it needs to hold on to that security of, because if she has a baby,
That sure, dude's sure. Gotta well, stick around.
That's
a genetic component as well, as much as we want to spread seed.
The genetics of it and the instinct of it anyway. It's like a woman, when she's pregnant, she's at her most vulnerable state. And if she's at her most vulnerable state, she needs to know that the guy who she's having this kid with is going to be there because she knows she's vulnerable at that point. But I mean, to get married at 22, you don't even know yourself at 22.
I don't know who the fuck I am now.
How old are you now?
I just turned 36.
Hey, happy late birthday. Yeah, you gotta fucking...
Yeah, you gotta do... Like, I always say relationships and sex are two things that...
But I don't know if we're giving him good advice.
But it's two things that a man is supposed to be good at, whether or not he has practice. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because and then when you ask, and you know as a man, if you ask for directions, then you failed. Sure. Do you know what I mean? We always fail. Yeah. You feel like you're a failure because of it. And so we don't ask for the help. We don't know what we're doing. But you wouldn't want, if you wanted to play ping pong, you got to practice. If you want to be good at sex, you got to fuck people. If you want to be in good in relationships, you got to.
Bill, that's the problem.
You got to be in relationships.
Yeah, Bill, you can't just jerk off and think about it half a magic.
That's like.
What happens when you get too lazy to even jerk off? Kill me. Kill me.
You get halfway through and you go, I don't know why.
I've don't serve any purpose anymore. Bus, come hit me. What are your thoughts on all this? Look, she's been with her boyfriend for a long time. They're moving in together.
After 4 years, we're moving in because I was like, well, I don't plan on breaking up with you. And I would like to spend more time with you. Like, that's a great opportunity. But I told him I don't want to get married. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't want to either.
Yeah.
But it's this idea of right now where we're at, like, I want you in my life. I want to celebrate things with you, milestones with you, go on vacations and trips. However, I feel like, you know, he's seen some messed up things in terms of marriage, like with people around him. Everyone I have met here at this network who's been married has been miserable. I have parents who are happily
married.
Rhymes
with Schmer and Schmerg.
And it's like, you know, I've seen good examples in my life. It's not that. It's just like, well, like Wendy was saying, people change.
Yeah.
And hopefully you can find someone who changes with you. But also then why, like, if you're feeling tethered to someone, that to me would be the worst thing in the world.
Then you just start to resent that person. And then, when you say, because you feel like out of obligation, and I know you have kids, but as like, I don't know if are your parents still married?
No, they got divorced at the age of 63.
That's weird.
I'm done.
That's good for them, though, because at that, my grandparents are still married, and my grandpa's such an asshole to my grandmother, like where she calls my mom crying, and she's like, well, at this point, I may as well just stay. And it's like, it's you're all, like, you know, whatever you believe, you're only in this body on this planet one time around. Even if you believe in reincarnation, it's like, fuck, be happy. I mean, fuck, dude.
Time is the commodity. And I think it's not possession, it's not prestige or fame, it's time, because without time, you can't do anything else. And relationships, I say, they're really simple. The problem is the honesty. You got to understand what your non-negotiables are and then never negotiate them. Mm-hmm. But you got to be honest about what those non-negotiables are. Like, you can't say, okay, like, you know, like if it's a woman and your man cheats on you and you stay, then cheating is not if she stays, then it's not non-negotiable because you stayed. And so you make ultimate decisions. You don't give ultimatums. You have to look at people's actions and then interpret that. Mm-hmm. Because people are usually not honest. And they're usually not honest because they don't have the value to really ask. They don't feel that they have the value to ask for what they want.
Well, and by the way, and I will say this, Jo is a very independent person. I don't like her. Never have. Not a fan. But she's a very independent person. And when she's about to move in with her boyfriend, I thought that was very interesting because you're taking away a lot of your independence by doing that. Even though,
now she's got more money to spend on hotels, so she can go do whatever the fuck she wants.
Also,
later.
It is a true two bedroom.
Doing pretty well here.
Escape
New York real estate.
And this is silly. I know this is fun for you to have everyone dump advice at you. Yeah. Is this funny? Yeah, this is so funny, right?
Well, let me tell you, we were thinking about getting divorced for a while, which, I mean, really? I didn't teller. No point in effort in that kind of words.
You were there.
You know, I was...
But you didn't... Man,
he's like, why are you packing all your stuff up? He's like, I don't know, just organizing.
Practice.
Organizing.
Global warming. We're on a coast, sweetie.
You never know what's going to happen. No, what were you going to say? I'm sorry.
Oh, no. I was
joking aside.
Because the thing with... And with your kids, too, and this is something that I've noticed, because my parents got divorced when I was young, mm-hmm. and... That was really traumatic and that sucked. But my friends whose parents stayed together.
Worse.
They, I look at, like, I've been able to, if I'm in a situation where I'm not happy, I leave. I find a solution. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I leave. And not in, like, a shitty way, but you go, like, and not where.
It's not working.
Yeah, you go, like, you know, I'm not happy. This mm-hmm. is not, and not in, like, a, like, I'm a princess, give me what I want type mm-hmm. of way. But you try and then you go, okay, weigh the pros and cons, mm-hmm. and I leave. My friends whose parents stayed together, they as kids were trained, you just stick it out. So they stay in relationships where the dude like fucking hits them and they're abusive and they're not happy because they were trained that like you just have to stay. You made a decision. There's no going back.
Well, I'm staying, but I'm training both of my daughters in MMA. So if anybody hits, yeah.
That's a fucking small move.
100%. I'm like, listen, it's going to suck, but you got to defend yourself.
Right. Yeah. Mine's got two daughters. That's exactly what he's doing. He sees him self-defense.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to. That's
pull guard, drop a triangle choke in, call it a day. Yeah.
Right. No. I know it's not fun, but you can think of it as like play fighting. You know, when we were kids and
good,
we used to do wrestle?
Mm-hmm.
I can make a man cry with my words.
Emotional
that's what
MMA.
I was trained
that'd be great.
Yes.
Two people enter, one person leaves crying.
Failure.
Times when you have kids, people stay together, we're staying together for the kids, but what you don't understand is if you have a son, he's looking at the father and saying this is the epitome of manhood, and he's looking at his mother, this is the epitome of womanhood. And so what happens is they mimic you, we mimic our parents. And so when you're staying in this situation and you're, or if she's abusive or she's, you know, cutting you down, then you teach your son that this is okay behavior, and they grow up in relationships that are familiar to them where they get into relationships with women who are abusive or and vice versa. So you're better off leaving and going, this is not, at least they can say, well, my dad wasn't, your son or your daughter says, if your daughter will say, if I'm abusive, then he will leave. Mm, and your son will go, if somebody's abusive to me, then I have to leave.
Right.
So as opposed to putting this is what you're saying.
That dynamic always fascinates me. And I'll ask you, ladies, I have, I've never been a mama's boy. I love my mom, but I'm not a mama's boy. She hates the fact that I don't call enough, like all that shit. But I have dated girls that before me have dated mama's boys, and they exist. And there's also Daddy's little girl. And that is a thing, too. Yep. And I've dated those. Mm. And that is a fucked up dynamic right there. Like, I like being a kind of a vaguely sociopath and not really caring about either my parents. I kid, I love them both. Yeah. But I like there's a divide. Like I'm not a mom. I'm not as mama's boy. I'm
You're
not
independent. Yeah. I think that's the common thread. Yeah. It's like mm-hmm. not cutting the cord is essentially what that is. Like a daddy's girl, you know, knows that no matter what, if she calls out to her dad, she'll be taken care of.
Yeah.
And the same thing with a mama's boy. And so I think that if you had parents who instilled independence in you, that's why you're not that way.
And the nice thing, my parents breaking up and leaving me, it instilled in me that everyone leaves and no one gives a fuck. And my mom left my dad.
By the way, we're getting through some things here.
We're actually part of a scientific experiment, and that is, so what happens when two codependents have a one-night stand? And it just keeps going, you know? It's really...
that fucking fascinates me. And I...
It's been how many nights now?
It's been a lot of nights, yeah. It's just, in the morning never comes, really. That's what it is.
Oh, is that the title of your Christian celibacy podcast?
The morning never comes, spelled C-U-M-S.
Right.
Yeah.
The morning with an
morning,
with a
morning,
U.
U-R-N-I-N-I. The morning never comes.
I'd like to know what prompted the
the divorce? Like, what made you start thinking about divorce?
Oh, no, I'm not. I'm just jokes. No, I'm,
oh, okay.
A little bit truth in every joke.
I was a little truth in every joke. Yeah, I was digging in. They were like, no, we're full of shit. So
I always like the funny because it's true.
Yeah.
It's, no, I mean, it's the sort of thing. You know, it's like it's a relationship.
You guys
it's
have been
hard
together
parts,
for
good
a while.
We've been together for a long time, and it's, you know, there's good parts and there's bad parts, and it's tough, and it's, you know, but it's not something that you're gonna throw out with the trash. It's like it's something you're working through, and you know, you have a little bit of blip here and a little bit of blip there, but it's not.
Yeah.
No, it's not. We go to couples therapy because it's a good way to have a mediation and have somebody else to help work through what was going on that week, and so that you have a place and a time to truly bring whatever issues you have to the table.
Yeah.
It's not like you're making dinner and then she's doing this thing and the kids are doing this thing and the dude and it's everybody screaming at you and you're like, hey, listen, we need to talk. Yeah, in a sec, I got to fucking need it.
Right.
It's more that. It's not, you know.
Well, and then Joe, what is your advice for the other Joe? Sorry, I'll call it Joanne now to make less confusion. Yeah. So now that she's moving in with Douglas,
okay,
they are going to spend a lot of time together, which they did not used to spend. And what would your advice be to that?
Concealed carry permit. I would say number one. Any other advice? No.
Why are you not making notes?
Oh, mental notes.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Joe's like, I'm going to throw it back at you guys. Don't do it.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know.
Walk away, cunt.
Run! Yeah.
A lot of times I'll say that if a relationship doesn't work, it's usually the guy's fault. And I'll tell you why.
Because I'm trying to fuck his woman.
because what happens is, you know, I feel like men tend to be, like, we are what we are. Yeah. Like, so, like, you are what you are. Where women will have, women have friends, different friends for different things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so
totally.
Like, so they're very malleable. And so you're talking about this kind of scope of a personality that women have, where men, if you ain't shit, you ain't shit. We all have friends who ain't shit, and they're always not shit, you know?
All right, we get it. I'm not shit. All right, come on.
So that women look at, men look at women like, I like that. And women go, I could do something with that.
Yes. Well said.
They look at like a man like raw materials. I could build a house out of that. Second, I could turn that into something real.
Yeah. Or I go, I could squeeze some money out.
Yeah, exactly.
When I was younger, I was imminently fixable. But now that I'm 43, right. Like, and people look at me like, nah, you can't be fixed.
Now it turns into like a this, like a this old house sort of thing.
That is the thing, too. When you're dating when you're younger, it's this idea of, well, I could be this version of myself for this person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then when you're older and dating, it's like, no, this is what you're getting.
Yeah.
You know, either you like it or you don't. I'm not going to put on the
cute outfits. It also snaps back.
The,
you know, like that,
oh,
the fraudulent that you're putting, you know, being a fraud about it. And when you don't care about the person as much, you just, hey, I'm going to just be myself. And then they're going, who are you?
If I ever date again, because like you said, you put on a fake of the best version of yourself and then you just disappoint them all the time. But I like the idea of under promise, over deliver.
Yeah.
I'm going to show up in my shittiest clothes. I'm going to tell them my worst possible traits. And then when they're like, hey, you're not a disgusting animal, they're like, oh, well, I guess I'm surprised too.
I love that. That's actually great.
Promise, over deliver.
Well, I feel like that would backfire for you.
Or not.
Right. Yeah, I know.
Or
would.
Not.
Yeah, I would.
No, that's about, it's with a shirt, I think it's interesting with having done the sex work, like, you're on, and so even though like we like it, like I like this guy, and we say, you know, and like there are strong feelings there.
Part of what you would do is
you're still like putting on kind of a front, essentially, like because they want it's the sensation of like a real experience, but you cut out a lot of the cuntiness and stuff like grooming and makeup, and you just like the
interesting,
and so but you're always agreeable, and not in a fake way, because this person I've been with for, you know, 2.5 years, so he knows the real me, but like are there certain things that I would never. And so then there's this dude that I'm like
what?
But what I'm excited
about. What would you never do in front of them?
Laugh in a certain way. I don't speak in a certain register of voice. There's just a different way that I talk.
Really?
More agreeable partner.
Interesting.
I kind of feel like women respect a guy when he's more honest about what he is. Mm-hmm. Like, so I had a guy who I was counseling, and he went out with this girl, and she was like, you know, he's older. He's like 55, and she was like 26. And
promising.
So, right.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
She was like, so they went to dinner, and she goes, well, by the time I'm 29, I want to be married. By the time I'm 32, I want to have kids. And he was like, check, please.
Yeah.
And he left, and she goes, where are you going? He goes, well, look, you... These are things that you want. I'm taking you at face value.
Yeah.
I'm not giving it
I
to
like
you. So let me just go, because yeah. this way I don't waste my time.
Yeah.
And even saying, when you know, you get guys who go, yeah, I don't want to waste your time. Yeah, I don't give a fuck about your time. I don't know you mm-hmm. enough yeah. to give a fuck about your time. So the honest, the authentic answer is that I don't want to waste my time with you.
Yeah.
And then when a woman goes, oh, he really doesn't give a fuck, like... He doesn't give a fuck. She finds you more attractive because you're honest about it.
Wendy, your response.
The honest version of that story is he fucked her that night and then went, check, please. And
he actually did fuck her. But, he left.
No, you're right.
It was 100% correct.
He left. And then she was like, you know, I feel like we got off on the wrong. And he was like, no, you want these things and I'm not willing to give you. I'm divorced and I'm just having fun. And everything. She was like, well, let's go out anyway. And she still pursued him anyway. And he ended up fucking her anyway.
And what I hear from that, too, is. Especially young women, timelines are incredible.
Yes. Which makes sense.
I was bartending the other night, and there was a girl at the bar. I think she was maybe 25 with her boyfriend from college, or talking about him with her gay friends. And I'm, of course, listening. And she's like, yeah, you know, at first, you know, I wanted to be, like, married by 27, have my first kid by 30. But now, like, I can't even imagine getting married before 30. So my timeline has shifted. And me and my sister wanted to have kids at the same time. And I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
You then are just using people to fit into
to fill
this
your,
mold
fill,
that
yeah,
you've yeah. created, which there's
when
no
you,
need for.
When you were too immature to even create a timeline. Mm. So you're creating this timeline when you're a teenager. Yeah. And then you're being controlled by you at 15 years old that thought that this was your princess story.
Wendy, thoughts?
I want to know Wendy's timeline.
Well, my timeline, I would like to start having kids by around 65. I'm going to wait when I can stop, like maybe like in my 50s, you know what I mean? Because that's when I'm just thinking I'll have other people's kids. Again, I'm going back. I'm this business
plan.
Trying to
get that money back. Well,
I can see that you are
comedy's
really into it.
Right. The movie, I've got comedy stuff happening, so I can probably do that when that stuff comes out, like 5-6 years, and then you're like, oh, but pregnancy is hot.
Well,
and be a pregnant grandma? Be a pregnant grandma on stage?
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Totally. Yeah.
That's gene, yes.
And you could do granny and pregnancy porn at the same time if you wanted to.
Fucking right.
Genres.
Well, I've been listening to a lot of like interviews with Natasha Lyonne when she's promoting Russian Doll, you know, and she's great. And she's like, I'm only going to probably marry until I'm about 69, 70. Like, that's when someone, which I think is kind of selfish, that's when I know someone can take care of me and I'll marry them right there and then. Mm. But then the flip side of that is they're old too, so maybe you're gonna have to take care of them.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you don't know who's gonna.
But that whole I look at partnership right now as just, are you gonna take care of me?
Yeah,
that's it.
Well, yeah, I think
the problem.
Yeah, marriage should. Yeah, right. Right. Yeah, that's
single. That's what it is.
I think that's what it is.
But we already talked about how broken he is. So yeah, that's what it is. So. Yeah.
Oh, I'm not a human being.
Pay a living.
I'm not a human being.
What if you had to renew your marriage, like your driver's license? So like every 3 years we go, well, we still doing this? Then it gives you an incentive to not shit on the marriage all along, because you know you got to renew at the end of the year or at the end of the 2 years.
I actually don't mind that. I think it's a good idea.
I'd love the gym just being like stacked at this, like around December 31st. Just like, I don't know, man. I'm up for renewal, and I don't want to be a fat piece of shit.
How many people want the opportunity to get out and don't feel as though they have the value to get out? And now, so you go, okay, the marriage
safety,
is
safety, yeah, safety.
Let's re up and see. If we still want to do this.
Years of my life, I'm saying.
Yeah, it's like leasing a car.
Yeah.
Do I want a different model?
No, I want to keep this one. Maybe it's too many miles on this.
I don't know enough about cars, so that's all I can offer to that.
right.
This one's dinged up.
You go, I don't like this color.
Carburetor.
Carbonation, yes.
Like a 35-year-old car that she's leasing.
You know what? Yeah, we don't know about cars, but I'm
faithful to my car.
Exactly,
yeah.
We
got to one story, and that was it. And that is a mark of a good show. You guys, this was awesome. And by the way, Chino and Aaron, this is how you do morning. No!
Yes. Garrett has to pick those up.
I'll pick them up.
Son of a bitch.
Don't talk to me like that. Guys, what do you want to plug? Prescribe. Promote before we send you on your merry way. Joe, we'll start with you first.
Oh, okay. You can find my new comedy album on anything. It's called Emotional Support. It's on Spotify, Pandora, all that stuff. So
done and done. Wendy, my love.
Follow me on Instagram at WendyBird82. My pod. Do it. My podcast, Pussy Fart Gang, comes out Wednesday. And that movie is like finally happening. The fucking documentary. I'll make you have me on when it's in theaters.
So it is finally happening.
Yeah, it's finally done.
Wait, and do I get to come to the premiere?
Yeah, you're going
to
come to the premiere. You can come too.
Hey.
I don't know when the fuck that's going to be, so I shouldn't have said anything, but I'm just excited.
It's about fucking time. I can't wait. it's going to be her like... Honestly, it was like, what, 5-6 years ago when they started following me?
It was like 4 years ago when they started following me. They followed me for 2 years.
This is going to be awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Dante, give it to me.
Man School 202 is my podcast, formerly the Beige Phillips Show. Follow me on Instagram, the Dante Nero. I'm actually doing the questions, the relationship questions I get. I'm starting in the end of April. I'm doing questions on Instagram live. So if it applies to you, it'll help you out.
Fucking love it. Again, she has no soul, so she won't have any questions. Unfortunately, we leave it all up to the worst thing that ever happened to me. Let's go to the graphics.
Great picture. With all this relationship talk, I think it's important to remind everyone that another person should not be your happiness. They can only add to it. And in the words of Sheryl Crow, if it makes you happy, it can't be that bad.
You went through Gino Visconti's playlist.